Freedom in capitalist societies remains the same as it was in ancient Greece, freedom for the slave owners.
Hello and welcome to The Revolution and You, a podcast designed to teach about the real nature of the system we live under and how that relates to you. A lot of terms are misused and purposely used wrong, so I'm going to give you a basic definition of capitalism. Capitalism is the rule of capital, or money invested with the intent of making a profit, leading to a society dominated by the rich, the famous capitalist free market developing into the monopoly of a few large corporations, with elections being little more than a flashy spending war between the opposing candidates' political campaign donors, with neither candidate proposing any sort of real change that would threaten business interests and cost them donation dollars. But that's a topic for a later episode. Now let's take a look at the specific conditions in the United States. We have stagnant wages and soaring prices. Median rent is up 90% since 2000 in the U.S. In that same time period, real wages only rose 27%. To quote Marx, the worker becomes poorer the more wealth he creates. We can see this through GDP growth, which means worker productivity has risen. But when adjusted for inflation, workers' wages have not. This is an example of one of the contradictions inherent in capitalism. Next, we'll cover our wonderful healthcare system in the U.S., where we have 100 million, myself included, in medical debt, and 40% of the population delays care due to cost. And big pharma companies price gouge life-saving drugs like insulin as much as 400%. To quote Lenin, capitalism is horror without end. The basic human need of healthcare is commodified under capitalism and then priced into the realm of privilege. Another issue in the U.S. is gig economy exploitation. Uber drivers earn about $6.20 per hour after expenses. And apps like DoorDash engage in algorithmic wage theft, where companies use software, algorithms, and automated systems to underpay workers, often in ways that are difficult to detect, like rounding down a worker's active time to the nearest minute. So if you had a delivery that took you 10 minutes and 45 seconds, it'll round it down to 10 minutes, thus depriving you of almost a minute of pay for work. Other apps ignore waiting time and only count active delivery time when you are moving towards the customer, but exclude the time spent waiting at restaurants for orders to be ready. So as a result, workers are not paid for a significant portion of their labor. Also, there's algorithmic tip theft, where some companies, like Instacart, have been accused of using tips to subsidize base pay instead of paying fairly on top of the tips. Algorithmic wage theft is difficult to detect because it happens at a micro level in seconds or cents per task, making it hard for workers to track. Also, the algorithms used are proprietary, meaning workers can't easily audit them. Companies often claim these are technical errors rather than intentional exploitation, and that just made my eyes roll so hard the recording may pick it up. Marx in Capital said, "Capitalism abolishes the worker's autonomy, making him an appendage of capital. And the gig economy is Marx's reserve army of labor, which is disposable workers who can be brought in at a moment's notice to break strikes and get normal workers to fall in line and then disposed of." Also, we have an impending climate collapse. Exxon knew about climate change in 1977, but went to great lengths to bury the science. And in 2023, we had record fossil fuel subsidies globally, equaling to $7 trillion. Lenin in The Agrarian Revolution says, "Capitalism squanders natural resources, leaving behind a polluted wasteland." This quote illustrates that ecocide is inevitable in a system that prioritizes short-term profit over long-term survivability. Our next topic is systemic crises. These crises are not a bug, but a feature of the system. Engels described the process as this. Commerce is at a standstill. The markets are glutted. Products accumulate. Hard cash disappears. Credit vanishes. Factories are shut down. The mass of workers are in want for the means of subsistence because they produce too much of the means of subsistence. In his classic Anti-During in 1877. Why that's important is Engels predicted the same boom-bust cycle we see today. The boom, or overproduction, leads to the bust, or market crash, and in the aftermath, the workers suffer. These cycles are also worsening and recurrent at a rate of just about 7 to 10 years. Now let's take a look at some examples of boom-bust cycles in the U.S. First, we'll examine the 2008 financial crisis. The boom phase was from 2001 to 2009. During this phase, banks pushed subprime mortgages with a two-year adjustable interest rate, which means the rates shot up after 2 years, to working-class applicants with low credit to exploit their need for housing. This led to an overestimation on who could afford this overpriced housing, and that led to an overproduction of the housing, which inevitably leads to a market crash, which brings us around to the bust phase in 2008. In 2008, the housing bubble from the previous cycle of overproduction bursts, and financial service firms like the Lehman Brothers, who had been around since 1850, filed for bankruptcy. These crises erupt when capital cannot realize its surplus value or profit, i.e. when no one can afford to buy the excess of overpriced homes that the banks are invested in. In the aftermath from 08 to 09, workers suffer with foreclosures totaling at $10 million. The capitalists, of course, were saved by the state with $700 billion, later reduced to $475 billion for the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, which was purchasing the troubled assets from the banks, basically using taxpayer dollars to buy these houses from the banks that they couldn't sell. The bourgeoisie solves crises by destroying productive forces and exploiting the workers further. That is a quote from Engels that illustrates our point here with the crash of the Lehman Brothers and then bailouts funded by the taxpayer. Next on the list is the 2020 COVID crash. We'll start off with the boom phase from 2010 to 2019. During this time, stocks soar and wages remain stagnant and working conditions worsen. This is the fictitious capital described by Marx, where Wall Street, through the stock market, bets on imaginary growth and as yet unrealized gains. The bust phase in March 2020 was when the COVID-19 pandemic exposed capitalism's fragility. The markets dropped 30% in weeks. That was the crash. And it was a crisis of disproportionality. The service sector, restaurants and gig work, collapsed first. Other industries remained on as essential workers. But in the aftermath of that, the workers suffer. 22 million jobs lost. 8 million people fell below the poverty line. And of course, the capitalists were saved. The Fed printed $6 trillion for corporations through the PPP loans program, looted by CEOs, scammers, and even some celebrities and athletes like Tom Brady. To quote Lenin, the state intervenes to save monopolies, not workers. Next, we'll talk about the bank collapses in 2023.
Another one.
The boom phase was from 2020 to 2022, where the Federal Reserve's near 0% interest rate fueled reckless speculation like the crypto and tech bubbles. Our good friend Marx on the topic had to say, capitalists chase profit like vampires chasing blood. The bust phase was in March 2023, when Silicon Valley Bank collapses, which was the biggest collapse since 08. This is a good example of the anarchy of production that Marx talks about. Banks gamble with deposits and with no regulation to stop them. And that leads up to the aftermath where workers suffer. Startups can't pay salaries, layoffs spike, and of course, the capitalists are saved by FDIC, which bails out all the Silicon Valley Bank customers. A fitting Marx quote for this entire section is that capitalist production moves through crises as a drunkard walks, stumbling between overproduction and collapse. The crisis of overproduction is something that happens in capitalism due to its inherent contradictions, where it can't avoid gluts, i.e. houses sit vacant during rising homelessness. I hope you're enjoying the revolution in you. We will be right back after this brief interlude and word from our sponsors. Imagine a collection of all the classics of the U.S. government. Well, that album is The Vanguard Group Presents Greatest Hits of Bailouts for the Rich, Boom Bust 7-Year Anniversary Edition, featuring such timeless classics as
You Can Rely on the OPEDS Money. You can rely on the OPEDS Money getting richer while the whole market crashes, because you know we got you covered anyway. It's a recession, but it won't hit you too hard. We can print money, so it won't hit you too hard.
And who could forget these two big to fail mega hits?
Because the rich, I must admit. Because the rich, I can't resist. Because the rich are on my list of who I'm about to help out.
Relive 2020 when billionaires raided the PPP program for $6 trillion while you fought a man in the parking lot of Walmart for the last package of toilet paper with this absolute banger.
Oh, here they come. Watch out, boy, they're still fun. Oh, here they come. It's the bourgeoisie.
All this and more could be yours while supplies last for 3 monthly payments of $19.99 plus shipping. Conditions apply. Payment comes with a variable interest rate subject to increase and extension without prior notice. This ad paid for by the Vanguard Group. All rights reserved.
Next, we'll talk about monopolies and corporate power. In the U.S., 3 corporations, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, control $20 trillion in assets. There's obviously more companies than that at play in the U.S. economy, but giants like Amazon time their employees' restroom breaks, while their owner, Jeff Bezos, has a wealth of $200 billion. Yet another Lenin quote is, "Monopoly is the transition from capitalism to a higher system. Late-stage capitalism is an inevitable concentration of capital that leads to oligarchy. These companies end up with more money than the Catholic Church, and of course, they're going to use that to donate to politicians who will make laws in their favor, which is where we're at now. Some of these companies are weapons and oil companies, which leads us to endless wars for profit. U.S. military spending is $877 billion per year, and Lockheed Martin, one of their key producers of military equipment, has seen soaring profits. The Ukraine and Iraq wars enriched Raytheon and Halliburton, which Raytheon makes weapons. Halliburton is an oil company with ties to the Bush family. War is inevitable under capitalism. It's how the capitalists carve up the world. Lenin said this in Imperialism, the Highest Stage of Capitalism, in 1916. And due to the military-industrial complex, war is a racket to sustain capital. There's a definite war is good for the economy sentiment in America, which leads to us provoking conflicts, getting involved in conflicts we don't need to be in, and generally sending high school-age children to places they've never been to risk their lives to save capital. Next, we're going to talk about why reform fails. Obamacare, our one attempt at reforming our monstrosity of a healthcare system, left 30 million uninsured. And any campaign that shows like it could possibly threaten the rich, like Bernie, was crushed by the Democratic National Convention. Unions like UAW may win small gains in wages, but the giant auto companies still outsource these jobs overseas. Yet another quote from our main man, Lenin: the state is an instrument of class oppression. That's from the State and Revolution. The capitalist state will block reform, like Biden busting rail strikes, to protect his corporate donors. In conclusion, I want to say that capitalism isn't just unfair. It's a system bound for collapse that's specifically designed to be exploitative. And unless you're the child of some tech billionaire, Fortune 500 CEO, or railway magnate, then you are who it was designed to exploit. On the next episode, we'll be covering what is socialism and why you were lied to about it.
Let me give a quick couple shout-outs to other creators in this leftist podcast space. First is Proles Pod. They were a big influence on this project right here. Go check out their Stalin Era series. One of their hosts has his own podcast. It's called Actually Existing Socialism with really good info on it. Also, if you can, go check out Marxist Miguel on TikTok. He does a lot of content. Specifically, he has some really good info on the Cuban democracy. And whoever put together the Revolutionaries Reading List collection of audiobooks on Spotify, you are greatly appreciated. May the specter haunt your streets, and solidarity forever.